morning. I'm going to share, just God's protection is so wonderful, and I'm very thankful for that. Yesterday I was trying to get my gutters cleaned out, and boy, there's a lot of stuff in those gutters. And anyway, and it was getting, I'd been up there quite a bit, and I was coming down the ladder, and I missed a rung. I don't know, have you guys ever done that before? And I had a bucket, 5 gallon bucket full of whatever was in my gutter. And I don't know how in the world I stayed on that ladder. But I did, you know, because when you get my age, you don't stay on anything anymore. You know, it's even hard to standing up. And so I, without hardly any energy injuries at all, other than just scraping my shin a little, I'm just, you know, I mean, that's just a little thing. It could have been an absolute disaster. Melissa was gone. Not that she would have known what to do anyway, but, you know, she probably could at least call somebody. But God, just, I don't know. And for some odd reason, I'm not even sore this morning. And hyperextended my knee and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so God just takes care of us all the time and just everywhere. He is watching over us. And I also think he gave me a hint. Time to stop, go in, and let someone else clean your gutters. Anyone want to clean the gutters? I've got part of one there. So anyway, thanks for sharing. And again, just always remember God is good and he takes care of us. And we need to hear what God is doing. Because he's doing a tremendous work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, this is only a sample, minuscule little sample of things that you are doing in our lives at all times. Lord, you protect us, you keep us safe. Lord, even when you do things that maybe are a little bit foolish for us, Lord, you're there. And your hand of protection is upon us. And Lord, sometimes you do let us fall, but then you take care of us. Lord, we thank you so much for the way that you've worked in the lives of this congregation. Father, we thank you for the miracle that you performed in Monica's life. And Lord, just let that be a testimony to us of how great our God is. Lord, as we come to your word now, open our hearts and speak to us that we might grow in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, our key verse today is not one that is a surprise to anyone, or not one that people have not heard of before. Most of you have this memorized, I am saying. But we're going to say it together, and I have it on the screen, so we're going to give you that opportunity to look at the screen and say it. We're going to all say it together, and then I'm going to have Mark go to a blank spot, and we're going to say it again, right? You think you can handle this one? I mean, you know, because what version? You can say it in whatever version you want to, as long as it's the one I'm reading. Okay? This is the NIV that's up here. So anyway, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, again, now, if you learned it in King James, if you learned it in the NAS, it might be a little bit, that's fine, as long as you've got the basics. Okay.
You just follow the rules.
I can't help it. My brain says your eyes are wrong. So, anyway, I'll try to get it right. Okay, let's say it together now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. eternal life. Okay. But see, the same words, folks, okay? You know, it means the same thing. Anyway, we hear that, and we hear that, and we hear that, and we hear that, and I wonder, we apply it to ourselves for God loving me, but do we ever apply it to everyone else? Do we ever apply this to the entire world? Because it says, for God so loved, now you can insert your name if you would like to do that. I think that's very selfish of you to just insert your name there. Because it says, for God so loved the world. The world. We're going to talk this morning about humanity. And I have to admit, humanity is not, I'm not fond of humanity. To be honest, I know I'm one of them. But I'm not, because I don't see myself, I do see myself as being human, so I guess I am part of humanity, but I guess there's kind of a separation. There's us and them, right? I mean, yes, I'm human, but I'm a Christian human. And so there's a difference. Well, there's a difference in the direction that we're going, but is there really a difference between us sitting here today and the people who are at their home watching TV or sleeping or whatever? Is there a difference? We're going to look at humanity, mankind. I'm so simple. I like the word people. We're going to look at the people that are around us today. And we're going to talk about, there's a tremendous assault on people today. I know that a lot of people think that by saying that there is no God and that we are just kind of a product of an accident. That's demeaning to me, and I think it should be demeaning to you, because I am not the product of an accident. I am someone who is created in the image of God. And that's the first thing we need to know about humanity. Everyone on this earth is created in the image of God. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we have this. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And that's a message that God wants to get across to us. Because again, in chapter 2 of Genesis, we see another version of the creation. In verse 7 it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. The breath of life was breathed into man by God. Now, all the other things that he created, he spoke into existence. He spoke into existence. And never did he say he breathed the breath of life into man. I mean, into anything other than man. Man is special because God formed him from the ground, and then he breathed in him his breath, the breath of life. And then again in Genesis chapter 5, we read in verses 1 and 2, this is written account of Adam's life. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. But again, we have this thing, in the image of God. We are not an accident. No one in his place is an accident. No one in this world is an accident. We are all purposely placed here by God. And we are God's image. Now, what does it mean to be God's image? Well, it means that we look like God, because obviously when Jesus Christ came to earth, he looked like man, right? No. You see, we're putting the cart in front of the horse. Yeah, that's how it works. No, we don't look like God. God is a spirit. So how are we made in God's image? What does that mean exactly? If God doesn't look like us, and by the way, the reason that Jesus looked like a human being is because he came down in the form of his creation. It means that, and I did quite a bit of reading on this. What does it mean? One thing, it means that we have a spirit. We have a soul. A soul that can know God. We can have a relationship with God that, quite frankly, the animals and the plants and the birds and the fish cannot have. I don't care what anyone says, they are not on the same plane as man. I know that's blasphemy to a lot of teaching in our schools nowadays, that everything is all on the same plane, that we are no higher than the animals. Well, if we're no higher than the animals, then how come we talk and they don't? How come we build things and, well, some of them do build nests, but I haven't seen any of them build a condominium lately or a skyscraper. I haven't seen any bird driving around in a car. I haven't seen any of that stuff going on because we are not. They are not our equals. Yes, they are an important creation of God, and we need to take care of them. Don't get me wrong. I love animals. I'm not real fond of deer right now. But anyway, anything that's up deer, I love animals. And we need to take care of them when we have done a horrible job as human beings taking care of the animals. How many of them are extinct now? So many of them are extinct. Because we didn't take care of them. Because we hunted them out of existence. Or we killed them because we wanted their feathers. Or we wanted their hides. Or we wanted them mounted to put trophies in our thing. We didn't take care of what God was supposed to, what we were supposed to do. But make no mistake, we are special. We are created in God's image. We have a soul. We know the difference between right and wrong. We can dream. We can have visions. There's a part of us that is going to live forever. Not plants and animals. And if there's animals over here, don't get mad at me. That's just what the scripture's talking about. You know the movie All Dogs Go to Heaven? And cats go to, you know. But it's not true. You know, dogs and cats go to the same place. They don't go anywhere. They just cease to exist. But see, we don't. We have eternity in our hearts. We're going to exist forever. So we are made, created in the image of God. And that makes us very special. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, we read, "From one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live." God has had his finger on everybody. Yes, all nations have come from one man. Adam and Adam and Eve. They were made in the image of God. And don't ever forget that you are special. You are special because you are made in the image of God. And not only did, and this kind of gets back to some of the false things that are being taught in our nation or in our world today. Not only were we created in the image of God, but we were created to rule the earth. We were created to rule the earth. Go back to verse 26 of Genesis 1. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And then again in verse 28, he says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God created man not to be equal with all the other creatures of this earth, but to rule over them. We've done a bad job. We've not done a good job at all of doing that. Because again, we see how we've messed up so much stuff. But we're going to get to why that happened. And then if we go to Psalms 8, 6 and 8, this is what David wrote. It says, you made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the sea, excuse me, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Now, this is kind of a dual verse here because it's talking about man, but it's also a prophetic thing about the Son of Man who is coming into the world, who is going to have put everything under his feet, is going to rule. But again, David, the psalmist, talks about how God put us in charge. So we are to rule this world. We are to be over this world and the creation. Now, I said we've done not a very good job of it. We've polluted our world. We've killed off animals. We've done all kinds of things that we should not do. There's places where you can't go because you'll get ill because of radiation poisoning or because of mercury and all kinds of things we've done to our world. And why did that happen? If we were made in the image of God, surely we would have known that we should take care of this world and do it a lot better than we've done. Well, it goes back to Genesis 3, chapter 6. Genesis 3, verse 6. And basically, we're marred by sin. It said, when woman saw the fruit of the tree, that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable to gain wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Of course, that's the first sin. This is when sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, it changed humanity. It changed mankind. Yes, we are still in the image of God, but now sin has entered into our lives. And through Adam and Eve, sin has entered everyone's lives. Not just Adam and Eve. Not just bad people, but sin has entered all of our lives. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Not just them that are not here today. Not just those people who deny that there is a God, but all of us have that issue. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, Paul writes, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work of those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. See, Paul is saying here, hey, you know, we're not going to separate any of you out. We are all sinners. We all have problems. And of course, the big thing that Paul was talking about too is the difference between Jews and Gentiles. Because remember, according to the Jews, there's only two groups of people in this world, the Jews and everyone else. And the Jews did not see everyone else as being worthy of being saved. But that's not true. That's not the way God sees it at all. Now, I threw in there Jeremiah 51:17 because I just love the way Jeremiah puts this when he says, all mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. I just feel that way sometimes. When I see the things that are on TV, when I see the decisions that are being made in our government or across the world, even in different governments, I think, how stupid can man be? Now, I know some of you are not allowed to say the word stupid, but it's in the Bible. So I feel like if it's in the Bible, I can use the word stupid. Okay? And basically, because of sin, and mine, basically, became stupid. Became ignorant of what is God's plan and what God created us for. So, okay, if mankind is sinful, if we're marked by sin, and we have blown it as far as taking care of our earth and all these types of things, then God must be really upset with us. And I'm sure he is not happy by what mankind has done. But one of the things that we need to remember, and I struggle with this. Trust me, I struggle with this. And if you don't believe me, you can talk to my wife, Melissa, and ask her about our Costco trip about 4 weeks ago to Costco in the Valley, Spokane, on Monday around noontime. All humanity was there. Everybody was there. And they were stupid. They did such stupid things. I mean, you know, it's just, especially at the sample table. There's these people, they come up and they get their sample. And no, they can't take their sample and go off and eat it. No, they got to stand right by the table so that no one else can get to the sample table. And then there's always those people that, even though you're waiting patiently in line to get a sample, they don't think that they have to wait because they're special. And so they just reach in and grab one. It's like, oh man, I called Melissa, or she called me, and she tried to talk me out of it. She says, dare, there are people just like you. No, they're not! They're not like me. If they were like me, they would know they shouldn't be here. You know? The older folks that were going so slow, and the younger ones on their cell phones thinking that, guess what, there's no one in the world but me in Costco. You know, and then those who park their carts sideways across the aisle and then walk away so that, you know, I'm telling you, I didn't think I was going to make it out of Costco that day. I just, because, you know, there were people there, and I just was fed up with people. I have a trouble loving humanity. You guys are about as big a group as I'm going to be. You know, and I have trouble loving you sometimes, too. Sorry, confession is good for the soul. I've heard that before. Maybe as a pastor, that's not always true. But anyway, you know, I struggle with loving people. I think they should, if everyone does what I think they should do, stay out of my way, and all that type of thing, then I'm fine with people. As long as they're somewhere else, and I guess that's maybe why I like Eastern Washington. Because there isn't any humanity here. You know, just a group of people that somehow got stuck here. And that, you know, I mean, they got connected to the soil and the ground and farmed and that type of thing. I love it here because there aren't too many people. But you know, it's not right for me. Moses says, well, smile at those people. You know, I mean, it's like, there, I haven't hit any of them yet. So just consider that a blessing. But see, I view them as very different than me. I'm me, and they were someone else, and I really wish someone else would just go away. But that's how I view humanity. That's not how God views humanity. Here's how God views humanity. Humanity is loved by God. Mankind is loved by... People are loved by God. We go back to our key verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Now look at the words in John chapter 3. I picked out four verses here. The first verse, we have God so loved the world. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, to save the world through him. Again, that world thing. John 3:18. Whoever believes. Whoever believes. John 3:21. But whoever lives by the truth comes to the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. You see what God is telling us here? God loves humanity. He loves humanity. He loves the people who are around us. So what should my attitude be about the people at Costco? Now, I went to Costco Friday night in Clarkston. If you don't like humanity, go to Costco Friday night in Clarkston. There's no one there. It was beautiful. I could go down the aisles. I could do whatever I wanted to do. I could sing. I could whistle. Because there was no one there. Well, there was no samples, but you know, that's beside the point. You know, but then I had to stop and think, my attitude about people stinks. God loves them. I better love him. As God's child, I have the responsibility to love as God loves. If I claim to be a believer, and I claim the love of Jesus Christ in my life, then that love has to be there for other people. Now, does that mean that I love everything they do? Absolutely not. But I cannot throw out the sinner with the sin. I need to love people. I need to care about people. That means my neighbors, the rest of the people in this town, the people in Spokane, the people on the west side, and my goodness, I go over there, and those people are unlovable. You know, especially the ones on the highway. They're unlovable, and they have terrible bumper stickers. You know, but God is saying, you know what, I want you to be nice, not to the person with the fish on the car, but I want you to be nice to the person that's got the dark symbol. Now, you don't have to like what they do or what they say or what they believe, but you cannot throw out the person with the sin. So, you know, it's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to me to love humanity. But God loves humanity. God loves all people. Now, no matter what political side you take, God loves the opposite the people on the opposite political side of you. They love those people. In fact, it says that we're supposed to pray for those who are in leaders, who are leaders. Well, I don't like all our leaders. Does it make any difference? We need to pray for them. Because that's love. That's loving them. Because God desires that all people come to know Him. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. This is good and pleasing. Pleases God, our Savior, 3 and 4, excuse me, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that going to happen? No, it's not. But it's God's desire that it does. And we need to be working towards that goal. Yeah. You know, are we going to be able to change humanity? Change mankind? Maybe not as a rule. Not as a whole. But can we change one person? Can we change two people? Can we help a group of people come to know the Lord? And who knows what kind of effect that is going to have on humanity. But folks, I have to start loving them as God does. And you need to start loving them as God does. Let's pray. Father, I don't understand why you love such sinful people. But then, Lord, I'm a sinful person. And you love me. And you called me to be your child. Father, we pray for those who are around us, who are part of this larger group of people that we call humanity or mankind. Father, you love them, and your desire is that they come to know you. Lord, help us to love those people, even though they may not be lovable. They may not even be likable. They may even stand against things that we hold very true and dear. But Father, you love them. Give us the strength to love them as you do, realizing that each and every one of us here at one time was part of that group. Lord, I pray that this would be a challenge to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.